The text for this evening's message comes from Hebrews chapter 1, the first 7 verses. You know, May the 25th, 2018, a town was Noblesville, Ohio. The place was Noblesville Middle School. It was in the midst on this day of another school shooting. There were 2 who were wounded during that shooting, a teacher and 1 student. It was the teacher who had subdued the shooter and who had gotten wounded in the process. Fortunately, both victims had survived. There was a man who was a member of the Noblesville Church of Christ, and he was traveling to another city with a client when his phone rang. And he answered the phone, and it happened to be his daughter. And she said, "Daddy, someone is shooting, and I'm scared. Please save me, Daddy. Please save me. I am so afraid." Word got around to the members of the local church, and many stood outside of the church and prayed as the school went into lockdown. The police cars were racing by, and the news was trying to give up-to-the-minute reports. And not all the stories that were being reported were factual. The reason I started off with this account is that it is difficult oftentimes to know what is true and what is rumor when so many different reports are being told of the same thing. Which do you believe? You know, and it's really no different when it comes to knowing what God's message is for us. There are conflicting interpretations of the message we call the Bible. Which interpretation is the right one? How do we know what God really means and wants from our lives? The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 1, he opens with what seems more like a sermon than a letter by talking about how God speaks. Now let's look at the very first verse of this chapter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God, since the very beginning, has always been about revealing His message to His creation. Can you just imagine if you were able to place yourself at a time in history, world history, in which God actually spoke by Himself to man? I think that would be pretty amazing. God walked with Adam and Eve, and He spoke directly to them. God spoke directly to Cain and to Noah and to Moses and others. And then God began to speak through the prophet, who would then share God's message to the masses. God used people like Elijah and Elisha, like Isaiah and Daniel and many more. And these men would then speak the truth to the people. But sadly, there were also false prophets who would tell the people the things that the people wanted to hear. Not what God wanted from them, but what they wanted themselves. And the message was no less clear because of these false teachers. One of the ways that God revealed messages was through a being whose very word means messenger. The angels. The Bible mentions these beings over 250 times. And angels played a strong role of being God's messenger in the Old Testament. Angels appeared to men like Abraham and Lot and Balaam. And there was also an army of angels that surrounded Elisha. My point here is that angels are important messengers. But the Hebrew writer says in verse 4 that Jesus is superior to angels. And he is so for a reason. The writer of this letter knew that the viewpoint of his readers was that angels were messengers and servants of God, and that they were higher and more powerful than man. But the question arises, where does Jesus fit into the rankings? The readers of the Hebrew letter, at one point themselves, were struggling with this, as many do today. If Jesus was a man, then angels would be more powerful and of greater authority than a man. But the fact is that Jesus never simply was a human being. He was God in the flesh. The Bible tells us his name was Emmanuel. He was the Son of God. And so let's take Hebrews chapter 1 in its fullness. If you will, follow along with me. I'll reread verse 1, but continue on to verse 7. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much superior to angels, as the name he has inherited is far excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, he brings the firstborn into the world, and he said, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he said, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. The takeaway, what we can take away from Hebrews 1 is that Jesus is the true message as well as the messenger. Jesus is described by the writer as the creator of the world. This falls in line exactly with Genesis 1 in verses 1 and 2. He then describes Jesus as the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's nature. You know, it wasn't that God simply wanted to speak to us. God spoke to us in person. Jesus is a superior revealer of the message of God, greater than the fathers, greater than the prophets or the angels, because Jesus is God in the flesh. If you want to know about God, the place to look is the Bible. But if you want to experience God, the place to be is in Christ. John 5, verses 39 and 40. Jesus says here, "You search the scriptures because that in them you think that you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Brethren, friends, we should want more than just a story. We should want a life that comes through Jesus Christ. I'm not putting the Bible down. I'm not making it irrelevant. For it is the voice of God. It is given to us through the Spirit of God. It is the authority on every issue that we can come across. But what we need to remember is if we want to know God's nature, to know why God does for us what he does, then the place to look is Jesus Christ. The one that we worship is not words in a book, but Jesus Christ. You want to know doctrine? Don't seek to just use the book, chapter, and verse. Let book, chapter, and verse come alive in Jesus Christ. Why do even the angels worship him? Because he is greater than all the other messengers that have ever come to reveal God's will to man. And why do I say this? Because here is what Jesus did that no other messenger could do. Provide purification for sin and live. The young girl, in the beginning of the lesson, she called her dad that morning. She cried, "Save me, Daddy." Jesus came and did just that. He saved us. And I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in our lives that we have a tendency to forget those things. We get so wrapped up in our lives that we allow them to put more importance on things than other than being here. When we look at our attendances on Sunday morning compared to Sunday evening, what we have is a lot of spaces that are missing because some could be here but chose not to. I bring this message forth tonight so that we can understand what is so important for us. That Jesus, the ultimate messenger, the Spirit of truth and of everlasting life, and what he did for each of us. It's amazing sometimes when we look at these things that it was no different in the time that the Hebrew writer wrote this letter, that there were others who were forgetting these things. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. God revealed truth through many messengers. But God showed himself through only one, Jesus Christ. As Peter said in Acts 4 and verse 12, not 44 and verse 2, it's in your outlines, or 12. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Most of us have claimed Jesus and have been united with him in the death, burial, and resurrection of baptism. And this letter from the Hebrews is written to those who were saved. And it is also for us to remember the one who saved us. I can just imagine the terror of that father when he received that phone call. Because you know what happened to the man that he was taking? He left him on the side of the road. He had to get to his daughter. The account that I was reading, I don't know how the man ever got home or wherever he was gone, but I'm sure he understood the importance of this man leaving so quickly. I hope we understand the importance of what Jesus has done for each of us, and not take it for granted. That we are only offered this one day out of the week to show our gratitude and appreciation for that tremendous sacrifice, and for the message that he brought to us from God himself, because he is God himself. We need to cry out to him and let God work in us. You know, it's amazing what can be done when we listen to the true message instead of all the noise of this world. Let us not forget these things ever. Study your Bibles. It is relevant. And we can make it relevant by doing the things that we learn and practicing them. If you are not a child of God, the gospel is very simple. Jesus did not make it so difficult that we have to go through years of classes and training. We have to read God's word so that we can believe it. Our faith helps us to believe. We can't read a book as we would read a novel, because in it are the ways of life and the ways of death. And it is those words in the Bible that tells us how to have the words of life and the life itself, to gain from it. Through repentance and baptism, confession and baptism, you can become that child of God. The foundation of your salvation will be laid, a foundation that is built on the rock. And then each and every day of your life, by remembering that tremendous sacrifice, you can restore a dilapidated body into a body that will be received by God in heaven. If there is anyone here this evening, there's a desire to answer the invitation, whether it is choose to put on Christ in baptism or whether you just need the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity this morning or this evening as together we stand and we sing.